we start that over? Laying up my treasure. Sorry. It's a little bit different from when we did it. My treasure in that home above, trusting, fully trusting in the Savior's love, doing what I can for heaven's holy dove. I'm a getting ready to leave this world. I'm a getting ready to leave this world of sorrow. I'm a getting ready for the gates of pearl, keeping my record bright, watching both day and night. I'm a getting ready to leave this sinful world.
Trusting.
Wait, it's a lot slower than when we did it.
Okay, verse 2.
Can you go faster?
Okay, here we go.
Trusting in the riches of His saving grace, in each earthly trial I His love can trace. Sure that up in heaven I shall find a place. I'm a getting ready to leave this world.
I'm a getting ready to leave this world of sorrow. I'm a getting ready
of pearl, keeping
my record bright,
watching
both day and night.
I'm getting ready to leave this sinful world,
to prepare a mansion Jesus said I'll go. If it were not true, I would have told you so. Just a little while to linger here.
Both day and night,
I'm getting ready to leave this sinful world.
All right, thank you. Good job, good job.
Man, appreciate the good song. Want to encourage them to keep singing. Just keep singing for the Lord. Well, I certainly want to ask for your prayers today. I want to read some scripture that's found in Matthew chapter 11. If you want to read with me, I'd ask you to turn there to Matthew 11. And I want to begin reading with verse 1 and read through verse 11. Matthew chapter 1, or chapter 11 rather, verses 1 through 11. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding His 12 disciples, He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of His disciples, and said unto Him, Art Thou He that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Because they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And I'm going to stop reading there with those 11 verses from Matthew chapter 11. I want to use a title for the message today, and that being, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And I want you to think about the statement that the Lord made here. Now, you know, you and I may, we may say things from time to time about somebody. We may say, well, I just think that that person's just one of the best people that I know. Well, you know, somebody else may have a different opinion of that, and they may say that same thing about somebody else. But now, what we find recorded here in the 11th chapter of Matthew concerning the statement that Jesus made about John the Baptist is not just a matter of opinion. Jesus spoke this of a truth. He said, truly, verily, truly, of a truth, I say unto you that among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. That's quite a statement, isn't it, from Jesus? I want you to think about some of the things that the Bible tells us about other people. We find recorded in the 34th chapter of Exodus, in the 10th verse, a statement that the Bible makes about Moses. It says, And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. In Job chapter 1, verse 1, it says, There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. In Acts chapter 13, verse 22, there's a statement made, something that God said concerning David, King David. He said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. And then we think about people like Abraham, the father of the Israelite nation, and how that he, by faith, left his homeland there in Mesopotamia and went out by faith, went out not knowing where God was going to take him, just went out trusting the Lord that he would take him where he would have him. He was a man of great faith. Elijah, the prophet Elijah, was a man of great faith. But Jesus, while he was on earth, he said, I'm telling you truly that among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Now, there are some things that I believe about that statement. And one of them is that I'm persuaded by what Jesus said there that there was certainly a lot more to John the Baptist than what we have record of in the Scriptures. He was no doubt a man of impeccable character. He was no doubt a man of great faith, of great dedication, greatly devoted to the Lord. And, not only did Jesus say this about John the Baptist, but they said things that we have recorded in the scriptures about one another. They complimented one another. They didn't say derogatory or negative things about each other, but they complimented one another. Now, I've always thought that it's so interesting, the great contrast that we see, when we consider Jesus making this true statement that there has not, among them that are born of women, that there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. But yet we find that John the Baptist, when he was talking about Jesus, he said in John chapter 1, verse 26, he it is, and this is John having reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, he it is whose coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. And so we see Jesus making this statement about John the Baptist being the greatest among them that are born of women, but yet John the Baptist making the statement about Jesus that I'm not even worthy to stoop down and loosen his shoes. And so certainly one of those things that Jesus knew about John the Baptist, and I believe was no doubt contained, included in that statement that Jesus made about his greatness, was his humility before the Lord. And we need to realize today, and let me put it this way. We need to be reminded perhaps today that we are nothing without him. And that we, as Jesus once told his disciples, that we cannot do anything without him. There's just nothing we can accomplish that'll be of any good to anybody at all without the help of the Lord. And I believe that the things that God has placed upon my heart today to share with you, you already know these things, but perhaps from time to time, we just need a reminder. We just need to be reminded of what we really are and who Jesus really is. And the things that we do as a church, really, truly, they are not about us. They're not about us. It's all about the glory of the Lord. It's all about exalting the head of the church. It's all about lifting up Jesus. And nothing that we do is for our recognition. Nothing that we do is for our glory, but it's all for his honor and glory. I don't know those of you that were here some time ago when the group that Jordan's dad is in, when they came here to sing. I don't know if you all remember Brother Jordan's dad making this statement, but he said when they were getting ready to sing, he said, it's not about us, it's all about him. And I remember him saying that, and that stuck in my mind. And sometimes we do need to be reminded of that, that we would not have what we have if it wasn't for Jesus. And we read in the fourth chapter of Revelation in verse 11, one of my favorite verses, Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And that includes you and I. We were, and that word pleasure there means purpose. For his purpose, we are and were created. We are created for His pleasure, for His purpose, not for our own. The wise man Solomon, after all the things that he had done and the vast kingdom that he built during his kingship over Israel, he realized, and it's recorded in his writing there in Ecclesiastes, but he realized that to reverence the Lord, to fear God, and to keep His commandments is the whole duty of man. Now, I'm going to tell you that there are a lot of people on the earth today, and there have been from generation to generation, there have been people that have filled the earth that never really came to the realization of why they're here. There are people in the world today, I'm convinced, that really don't have a clue why they are here on the earth. They believe that they're just here to have fun, just here to entertain themselves, just here to do whatever they can to satisfy the flesh for a little while until they die, and that's all that life means to them. Now that's pretty sad, isn't it? That's pretty sad for somebody to think that that's their only purpose for existing, but evidently that's the way that a lot of people view their life. They advertise it in that way, do they not? I mean, we see advertisements that tell us that people think in that way. But we were created for the Lord's purpose. And we are here to honor Him and reverence Him and to obey His word, to obey His commandment. I want you to know this. If you are here today and you are lost and in your sins and have not yet repented of your sins before the Lord, you are breaking His commandment. Because the Bible tells us that God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. God's not just putting that out there and saying, now this is something, you know, if you feel like you may want to do this, you ought to do it. If you don't worry about it. God has commanded that of every person. All men everywhere is commanded to repent before God and trust the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. You know, we cannot really carry out our purpose in life until we get that settled first. Until we come to know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin and belong to Him, we cannot really fulfill our purpose in serving Him until we have the right relationship with Him. And so today, if you're here today and you're not saved, you need to obey the Lord in that. You need to obey God's commandment to repent of your sins before a holy God and trust the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 19, I want to share this with you. Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 16. Listen to these beautiful words that the Apostle Paul wrote about Jesus in writing his epistle to the Colossians. He's talking about Jesus here, and he says, "For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." You know, you and I, we don't even have an existence apart from Him. It's in the Lord that we live and move and have our very being. We don't even exist without Him. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Listen, and He is the head of the body, the church. And I'm going to say this, that any church that ever forgets that, any church that ever moves away from that and forgets that Jesus Christ is the head of the church, may as well close the doors and not even meet anymore. If we ever stop acknowledging Him as the head, then we're not worth anything. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, He might have the preeminence. That in all things, He might have the superiority. In all things, that it might be Him that's exalted. Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." And we know that He spake that concerning His death on the cross, concerning the way that He would die. But I'm going to tell you that we've got, listen, if we want to see people saved, we've got to exalt Jesus before them, don't we? If we want to see people saved, we've got to lift Him up in our preaching, in our singing, in our testimonies. We've got to exalt the Lord Jesus before people. If we're going to see people saved, and if the church is going to be what it ought to be, we've got to honor the Lord. You know, for those of us here today that have been saved, we were not just saved for our own sake. We were not just saved for our own sake. We were not saved for our own sake. The Bible tells us that. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, the Bible tells us that thing. Paul writing to the church there at Ephesus, and he said, "And be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." When He saved us, you know, we experience great benefits because of what Christ has done for us. Yes, those of us that have been saved, we have escaped any danger of ever having to spend eternity in that place called hell. Those who are saved, we will never have to experience that. But I believe that we all know that it's really what we deserved. If we got what was just, if we got what was really coming to us, that's where we go, wouldn't we? I mean, if we really, if God was really just, listen, I'm gonna tell you something today, lost friend. I'm gonna assure you of this. You don't want to pray for God's justice upon you. You need to cry out to God for His mercy upon you, because we all deserve an eternity in hell. It's exactly what we deserve. And so we have experienced great benefits, you know, from being saved. And as the Bible teaches us, God loads us daily with His benefits. But He saved us. The Bible tells us plainly that He saved us for the sake of Christ. You know, listen, when God is saving souls, when the Lord is adding to the church daily those who are saved, it is His purpose and it is His intent to honor His Son, that He might be exalted, not that we might be exalted, not that we might be praised, but that we might be to the praise of His glory. The Lord said this, and it's recorded in the book of Isaiah. He said, "I am the Lord that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. And he doesn't have to, because he deserves it. I love to think about the great difference there between John and Jesus. And honestly, and I realize that it's a matter of differing views, but I really believe that what Jesus said there in the 11th chapter of Matthew, when he verse 11, he said, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." And I really believe that Jesus was making reference to himself. You may not see it that way. Some people don't. But I believe that he was saying the same thing that he said concerning Solomon when he spoke about the wisdom of Solomon. But he said, "Behold, a greater than Solomon is here." And it doesn't make any difference what position that a man may rise to. It doesn't make any difference what accomplishments that a person may have. There is nobody like the Lord. Nobody. I'm telling you, we don't even come close. We don't even come close. And I believe that John the Baptist here really showed us in this where we really stand when Jesus made the statement about him, "Among them that are born of women, there's not risen a greater than John the Baptist." And John saying, "Well, maybe so, but I'm telling you, I'm not worthy to stoop down at the feet of Jesus and even loosen his shoes." I'm telling you, there's nobody like him. We read about in the Old Testament, in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, it talks to us there about the folly of idolatry, about the folly of making an idol God. The question is asked there, "To whom will ye liken God? Or what will you compare to God?" And it talks about people working with their hands and taking a piece of wood or a stone or something and using it and shaping it into an idol and then worshiping that. The question is asked, who are you going to compare to God? I'm telling you, those dumb idols that they made, they were nothing like the God that brought them out of Egypt. They actually got to the point where they would give them credit and give them the honor of saying, "You know, this is the God that delivered us." But you know, that idol sat there and it couldn't move and it couldn't talk to them and it couldn't hear and answer their prayers. In fact, if they were going to move it from one place to another, they had to pick it up and move it themselves. Now, what kind of God would that be? Didn't come anywhere close to the God that had delivered them from the bondage of Egypt. And I'll tell you what, there's nobody that even comes close, Brother Mike Jackson, to the Lord that delivered me from the bondage of sin. I've never known anybody else like him, and I don't expect that I ever will. I've known some, what I believe to be some good people in my life. I've known some people in my life. Thank God for the friends that he's blessed me with. Thank God for the faithful people that God has placed in my life. I've known people that I believe by their actions, they love the Lord. They were devoted to him. They were faithful to him. They were servants of him. But they never, as much as I respect them, they never came anywhere close in my mind and in my heart to Jesus. When Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 55, when he wrote about how that God's ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's ways higher than our ways, and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. You know what? I believe Isaiah the prophet in that, he just used the best comparison that he had. But that doesn't really come close to really telling us how much greater the Lord is than we are. Yeah, we're not worthy. We're not worthy. John said, I'm not worthy to stoop down and loosen the shoes of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not worthy before him. We're all like Jacob. We're not worthy of the very least of all of his mercies. And I'm going to tell you something, lost friend. If you are waiting for the time when you are worthy of the Lord, you're going to die lost. Because you're never going to be worthy of the Lord. We come before him. I enjoyed Brother Don Curtis's message this morning on the old-fashioned gospel hour. We come before the Lord broken. We come before the Lord as humble as we can, realizing that we're sinners, that we're not worthy of him. We don't deserve him. And if it wasn't for his mercy, we'd never have him, would we? The church is subject to the Lord. That's what Paul tells us in the fifth chapter of Ephesians, that the church is subject to the Lord. You know, there must have been something about John the Baptist for the priest, for the Jews to send priests and Levites out to him to question him about who he was. And I'll tell you what I believe. I believe that some of them actually thought that he was the Christ himself. Because the Bible tells us that when the Jews sent priests and Levites out there to John to ask him, who are you, that he confessed and denied not, but he confessed, I am not the Christ. I believe they had asked him, are you him? Are you the Christ? Boy, I'll tell you what, sometimes it's hard for us with this Adamic nature that we have, with the nature of Adam that we have. Sometimes it's hard if somebody says something to try to, you know, exalt you. Sometimes it's hard not to get caught up in pride, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard, you know, we have to fight the flesh not to take pride in that and not to get, not for our head to get so big that we can't get through the door. But John the Baptist, when they came to him and they said, who are you? He said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm not the Christ. I'm not him. You know, there's two things. If I didn't know anything else, there's two things I know for sure. I know there's a God, and I'm not him. And I'm not anywhere close to him. And he deserves everything. Because everything was made for him, for his honor, and for his glory. And the church is subject unto him. And I wonder if we really remember that. I wonder if we really put that into practice. I believe we know it. I believe that we believe it and we embrace it. Do we really put it into practice? How many times when we're talking about the things concerning the church, how many times do we all talk about I? How many times when we meet to conduct business, when we meet to have business meeting, how many times have we heard, well, I think we ought to do this. And somebody else says, I think we ought to do this. But how often
when we see these things, how often when we see one person thinking something else, something should be done, and another person thinking that something else should be done, how many times do we hear somebody say, well, I think we ought to pray and find out what way would best honor Christ, like they did there, like we find recorded in the first chapter of Acts, when they, when Peter stood up in the midst of the church there and told them it was necessary that they replace Judas, that they fill the spot from which Judas fell. And, you know, obviously there was a difference of opinion there because they appointed two. Sometimes when we're trying to call a revival helper, we appoint 10. They appointed two. Well, 10 may be a stretch, but multiple people. And they appointed two. Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias, and they prayed. You know, and we don't read here where they said, well, I think we ought to get this guy because this is, you know, the talents that he has. And then another group saying, well, I think we ought to get this guy because of what he can do. When they saw that there was more than one, they prayed and they said, Lord, what is it that you would have us to do? And I'll tell you what, if we don't approach matters in the church like that, we're doing wrong. We're doing wrong because this don't belong to you and me. As far as I'm concerned, I know that it's our responsibility to deal with it. It is. It's our responsibility to take care of it. But as far as I'm concerned, this building that's been built here, this doesn't belong to the members of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church. It's the Lord's. It's His. And you know what? We ought to take care of it like it belongs to Him. I've seen times when, just to be honest with you, I've seen times when people take care of their own houses, their own dwelling places, better than they take care of the house of God. That's not right, is it? That's not right. This belongs to Jesus. It's been dedicated to Him, hadn't it? It was built with that in mind, with that purpose in mind, that it belongs to the Lord. I'd like to see the church do this. Well, I think we ought to do this. You know what? I don't feel like I'm getting what I need at this church. I believe I'm going to move my membership because there's something there that I don't like. You listen. I'm telling you, folks, you don't have to take what I say. You just listen to our testimonies and find out how many times when it comes to things of the church, it's I. Rather than Jesus, rather than what the Lord would want. We tell on ourselves in our own words and in our own testimonies. We do. Believe it or not believe it, but we do. We tell on ourselves. Unto Him, unto who? Unto the Lord. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Oh, I don't think I want to go to that church. I don't like the way the pastor preaches. A lot of times it doesn't have a thing to do with whether or not he's telling the truth. I just don't like the way he delivers it. I don't like, you know, he preaches too loud, or he doesn't preach loud enough, or he gets all worked up when he preaches, or he doesn't get worked up enough. I'm telling you what, folks, that's not what it's about. That is not what it's about. Yes, Jesus, you're worthy. You are worthy. Lord, you're worthy. You're worthy to receive all of my praise. You're worthy to receive all of the honor and the glory that I could possibly give to you. You saved me. You gave me eternal life. I could have never earned it. I could have never deserved it. I'm going to heaven because of you. And you're worthy. And listen, Lord, you're worthy. I don't care how I feel. You're worthy. You're worthy of me serving you. I don't care if I am a little bit tired. You know, I don't mean this at all. I want you to understand, I don't mean this at all in a boastful way at all, but I just didn't feel good this morning. Just didn't feel good. I was hurting. Well, doesn't matter. I was hurting. My body was hurting. I know that some of you may not feel well here today, but I'm telling you, the Lord is worthy of me coming and worshiping Him, even if I don't feel the best. I'll tell you what, Jesus, I guarantee you, He didn't feel the best in His body when He went to Calvary, did He? He didn't feel the best in His body when He took that cross, when He took that cross and went and died for my sins. He had been beaten, He was bloodied, He was mutilated, and I guarantee you, He wasn't feeling well when He died for my sins and your sins. But He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy of me getting out of bed and coming to church and assembling just like He said and worshiping Him. And I'm going to tell you what, if you're a member of the Lord's church and you only do that when you feel like it, you only do that when it suits you, if you only do that when you don't have something better to do, you are doing wrong. And I won't take that back. You are doing wrong. You ought to love the Lord more than that. You ought to praise Him with your life more than that. I'd like for us to have a song. I'm going to tell you something. If you're here today and you're not saved, you can be saved. You're not worthy of it. You don't deserve it. But God is gracious and God is merciful and He will save you. For Christ's sake, He will save you if you'll obey His commandment to repent of your sins and trust Him. He will save you. And then you'll have a better understanding of what I've been trying to say today. We realize, I'll tell you what, I believe in our hearts, those of us that have been saved, in our hearts, we realize, well, I was sure not worthy of that. I sure didn't deserve that. But thank God that He's gracious. Brother Strode.
Number 103.